Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, we should think about these things, seek them out even. Those are the words of St. Paul, not my thoughts. So St. Paul, what do you say we talk about them too? I'm guessing he'd approve. That's what we're going to do today on Call Me Catholic. Talk about all the good stuff. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation that is intended to celebrate, affirm, and explore our Catholic identity so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G, my engineer-in-chief fact-checker, is back in the house. We missed you last week. We missed you.
I heard that ratings had a huge boost last week.
No, they took a dive.
People found out Jimmy G wasn't going to be here, and I'm honored by that.
Well, we did miss you. You bring a certain energy and a capability to our show each week, but Ian, the most interesting man in the world, came in instead. And you were doing something fabulous. You were going to a concert here in Lindsey Buckingham in Las Vegas.
Yes, got invited to a concert, and it was absolutely fantastic. Lindsey and Christine McPhee.
Did he do some of the great Fleetwood Mac classics?
Yes, they did.
What was your favorite?
They did. Oh, my goodness. Well,
You Can Go Your Own Way.
Go Your Own Way was probably the one where everyone was on their feet. So all 5,000 folks. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was great.
You deserved that vacation. So we are glad that you took some time off to be with your wife and enjoy good music. Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, Southern California. We are the Diocese of Orange, geographically holding our own between the Archdiocese of Los Angeles and the Diocese of San Diego. In fact, the Diocese of Orange co-produces our show with EWTN. Now, they're not doing any of that in Los Angeles or San Diego. So I'm just saying, the Diocese of Orange is a force.
Exactly.
And the force is with us. Now, would you like to see what our studio looks like? You can watch us in addition to listen to us by going to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/callmecatholic and clicking on the link that marvelous Matt, our studio savant, is putting up there. That link will take you to another page, hopefully without detour, and you'll have a live stream of the show. You can see our guests in the studio. You can see a little bit of our studio. You can see me. You can see the back of Jimmy G's head.
It just dawned on me. We should improve the wall art on the wall behind you. Put up some nice photos, something colorful.
Or something religious.
Because that's where the stream is hitting.
Yes, that is. Okay, but they're not looking at that. They're looking at the microphones and the action.
This is true.
So check that out if that interests you. Don't do it while you're driving, okay? Now, what you won't be able to see is that our studio happens to be located in something of a summer playground. We're neighbors to Disneyland and Angel Stadium, and the beach is just a few traffic jams away. And it gets busy here during the summer months. Lots of visitors, even to our Christ Cathedral campus, certainly a destination on many people's summer itinerary.
Yep.
So we're coming up on the last few days of July, but we are still in summer mode, aren't we?
It's still triple digits outside.
We got plenty of baseball yet, figuratively and literally.
Yep.
Keep an eye on those Dodgers. They're going all the way. Jimmy G, go blue.
Don't jinx them.
Okay. Now, I know that summer is over. It's absolutely gone when the stores start featuring Halloween decorations in their displays. That is summer's sad death. No. You know, it's like, bye-bye.
No, not Christmas yet, right?
No, not Christmas yet, but they bring them out always way too early. But today, we're living in the moment. We are savoring the vacation feel of the summer season. We're not back to school yet, so we're going to have some fun on Call Me Catholic today. We've got a super fun and talented guest in the studio to entertain you and us. Jennifer Nemo Morales is a popular singer and actress who's worked in the entertainment field for 25 years. She originated the role of Frankie Valli's wife in the Tony Award-winning musical Jersey Boys.
Wow.
Who loves you, pretty baby? But Jenna, that's an insult to my guest who's sitting right here, who originated that role. But Jennifer Nemo Morales has a fabulously rich story beyond that of growing up Catholic, living and working on Broadway, meeting your husband through an online Catholic dating site, adopting a son, the love of her life, and now spreading the good news of our faith with her talents as a singer, writer, actor, speaker. You are going to love Jennifer. She's going to be with us in just a minute. And then later in the show, in our Chatting with Catholic segment, I take my microphone to our biannual family reunion, a fun summer tradition in my family, which happened a couple of weeks ago. And I ask asked my closest relatives, what does family mean to you? Well, of course, I'm biased because I truly love the people that I talk to, but I think you're going to love them too. So stick around for that.
So the next one's not happening until 2019.
It's 2019, right. And we're going to have a wedding in the middle and probably some births. But, you know, the thing about doing it every other year is that it becomes a command performance. You don't say, well, I can't make it this year, but I'll make it next year.
Right,
everybody
right.
shows up.
Yeah.
Boom.
Excellent.
Okay, but first up, it's the Call Me Catholic Countdown of the Week, which today, in honor of our summer fun show, is the top five things Catholics should be doing during the summer season. If you haven't done these yet, you have to check them off your list. Catholic, summer, what's the connection there, right? Well, the high holy days of Christmas and Easter give us Catholics a lot of rich spiritual themes to meditate on and do during the seasons of winter and spring. But what about the great frontier of summer? What's a Catholic to do now? Well, I hope you will allow me to provide this abbreviated list of ideas for the serious, fun-loving Catholic to enjoy during this season of rest and recreation. So here we go. Call Me Catholic.
The Catholic Countdown.
Okay, my top five favorite things for Catholics to enjoy during the season of summer. Okay, these are pretty much on the light side. This is L-I-T-E, Catholic light.
Does it have to do with being near a body of water?
No, actually, okay, none of them do. Maybe one of them kind of does. Okay, number five would be, hey, host a barbecue. Yeah, it seems simple, but, you know, we have kind of a patron saint for barbecue, St. Lawrence, who was, I mean, it's not disrespectful, but he died. He was martyred on a grill. And it was reported, literally, it was reported that he said at one point, please turn me over. I'm done on this side. St. Lawrence. I'm not kidding you. That's true. And have some Trappist beer on hand, too. And say grace before meals. So ask your friends and neighbors over for a barbecue and say your grace. Be a model of being grateful for God's blessings.
Something we'll think about next time we're barbecuing. Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, number four is go on a pilgrimage. Okay, now I know it's too late and mostly impractical to plan an extensive trip to a distant holy destination, but find something in your region and be a tourist for a day. Here in Southern California, we have missions galore. Thank you, St. Junipero Serra. But maybe there's a shrine in your county that you haven't visited, or a cathedral that you haven't seen, or a small chapel that's tucked away in a nearby neighborhood, or a Catholic university. Or here's an idea, rent a video that's kind of a travelogue to a holy place you'd like to visit. I know EWTN in their religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, has plenty of those documentaries for sale. So go on a little pilgrimage, virtually or in real time.
Exactly. I love visiting churches that I haven't really been to before. It's incredible.
Yeah. And in summer, it's a nice time to do that because you can feel like you're just on vacation. Mm-hmm. And usually most parishes will extend a welcome to visitors too, especially during the summer. Number three, go on a hike or a walk. Experience the beauty of God's creation in maybe one of his nature reserves and say a rosary while you're doing it. Or go sit in a beautiful spot and contemplate nature while we are in the high, beautiful season of summer. We have plenty of Catholic saints who were great outdoorsmen. We have Pope St. John Paul the Great. He loved the outdoors. And then we also have Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. He was a 20th century young Italian man who died too young, but he loved hiking and skiing and the outdoors. So say a rosary and pray to one of our beautiful communion of saints who love the outdoors too.
Good idea.
Number two, you're going to like this one, Jimmy G. Go to a baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Baseball is so Catholic and it's so summer. I mean, Babe Ruth, Tommy Lasorda,
Padres,
Mike Piazza.
Cardinals.
The Saints.
Yeah.
Are the Saints a baseball team?
Probably a minor league team.
Okay. The Saints are a basketball team then?
They're a football.
Oh, football.
I
was getting there.
They're Harry Connick Jr.'s team.
Yogi Berra was a Catholic.
Yep.
A man of great expressions and could use the English language so colorfully. So go to a baseball game. It's so wholesome. It's so Catholic. Okay. And number one thing to do during the summer season is go to Mass on August 15th. Does that ring a bell, friends? August 15th, it's the Feast of the Assumption. And I think a lot of people overlook it because it's in the summer, right? Mm. And so you're out of your normal routine. Maybe you're not in your normal parish area. And you forget it's on a Wednesday this year. So there's no excuse not to go to Mass. Mm. And do something special. You know, prepare a special meal. There's a great cookbook that is authored by Brother Victor Antoine Davila Latourette. And it's called Sacred Feasts from a Monastery Kitchen. It's a vegetarian cookbook. But he has in there a recipe for an Assumption salad. Hmm. So it's lots of fresh and seasonally appropriate ingredients in there. So check out, you know, originate your own Assumption recipe. But celebrate the Feast of the Assumption on August 15th. Good Catholics, go to Mass. So there you go. My top five favorite things for Catholics to enjoy during the remaining weeks of the summer season. And you thought Advent and Lent were the only seasons Catholics could celebrate being Catholic. No.
Come on now.
This is a year-round faith, my friends. Now, why don't you check out our year-round Facebook page? It's fun, like today's show. It's newsy. No fake news. It's family. So go to Facebook.com/CallMeCatholic and give us a like or click on the link to our live stream.
Newsy, not snoozy.
Wow, you came back a poet. You should go to more Lindsey Buckingham
concerts.
I don't know
what's gotten into me.
Hey, coming up next in our summer fun show, it's singer-actress Jennifer Namo Morales. She originated the role of Frankie Valli's wife in the Broadway musical Jersey Boys. And I think she's going to sing a little bit for us if we behave. She's got a great story, and you're going to love her. So stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hi, kids. Welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin. This is our summer fun show. We should have some Beach Boys music or something like that, Jimmy G.
Surf City.
Good enough. Good enough. Yeah, we're in a relaxed and recreational summer state of mind, and our guest today is so much fun. Have you been lucky enough to catch a performance of Jersey Boys, that fabulously popular musical about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons that debuted back in 2005? Well, our guest, Jennifer Namo Morales, originated the role of Frankie Valli's wife in the first Broadway production that garnered many Tony Awards. Jennifer Namo Morales is a singer and actress who has performed with the late Christopher Reeve, Sigourney Weaver, Blythe Danner, many other stars in theater productions ranging from Les Miserables to Grease and Big River. More recently, she's gained notoriety for her work in television and commercials, as well as her one-woman cabaret shows. But she also uses her impressive talents to evangelize the faith, and she's not a bit self-conscious about that. In fact, she's happy to have us call her Catholic. Jennifer Namo Morales, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I want to tell our listeners right off the bat that if you'd like to jump into our conversation, if you know you're going to have a comment or a question for Jennifer, the talented Jennifer Morales, give us a call at 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Marvelous Matt, our call screener, will greet you and bring you into the dialogue. And you'll be able to hear the show while you're waiting for us too. So Jennifer, you grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes.
And left home at the age of 18 to enroll in New York University's very prestigious acting program.
Yes.
So take me back to the 18-year-old Jennifer. What were your expectations? What were your fears? How did you see your life playing out at that point?
Well, I graduated high school, and I was always interested in singing and theater. And I did a show in between ending high school and my first year of college, which was Hope College in Holland, Michigan. I was going to be a music and communications major. Okay. And I did go there. But I did a show, Two Gentlemen of Verona. It was a musical version of the Shakespeare play. And this director said, you know, you shouldn't stay around Grand Rapids, Michigan. I said, oh, really? Yeah, you should go out to New York. And before that, I hadn't thought anything of New York City. Nothing. I thought of Hollywood and, you know, movies and movie stars. And so he encouraged me to do that, and I said, well, where would I go? And he said, well, New York University. So while I was...
Well, he was going to send you to the top, baby.
Yes, exactly. So while I was in school at Hope College, I auditioned for NYU in Chicago, and I auditioned for the normal theater program and the graduate program. And I got a phone call saying, we accepted you. And I said, well, what's the difference for the graduate program? They said, this is the graduate program. You'll receive your MFA, which I didn't. I received my BFA because I was younger. Mm-hmm. It was a conservatory 3-year program. So I had to do liberal arts outside of the regular conservatory hours of 9 to 6 every day. So that's what I did. My parents prayed that all the doors would close and all the doors opened. So,
So what can you do? And you were raised Catholic. You went to Catholic schools before you went to Hope College. So were you scared?
I was scared. I was excited. I was scared. I was such a mama's girl that no one thought that I would survive because I was literally always clinging to her right leg. But I packed everything that I had into a station wagon. My dad drove me across to New York City.
Yes. New York in your station wagon.
And they were out of rooms. They were out of dormitories. So they put a few of us in a YMCA Sloan house, and some of the graduate students had one floor, but the rest were like homeless people and people that didn't have a lot of
this
money.
This is good stuff for your acting chops,
yes,
though.
Yes, definitely.
In the real world.
You either run or survive.
So did your mom have any parting words for you as you left for the big city?
Yes. That morning when I was about to leave, my mom, she's very creative. She's an artist. And she had a spool of gold thread. And she said, okay, take this spool and I want you to unwind it. Well, she stayed there with one end. And I went practically all the way down the street. I said, okay. She said, okay, now wind it back. And I thought, what is my mom up to? So I wound it back. And she said, how old are you? And I said, 18. She took a little red marker and made a little tab. And what's the average lifespan? And back then, it was like 80. So she made another little tab. And she said, here's where you are right now. And here's the average lifespan. And all the rest, the gold thread, is eternity.
Oh.
So the choices you make now are going to affect where you spend eternity. So do not compromise.
Wow, what a beautiful metaphor.
Yes.
And a real visual reference point for the lesson there.
She's good with visual. She knows that I learn best with visual.
Yeah.
Because you can tell a kid everything, but I framed that. I brought that everywhere with me. My dorms, travels on the road, just to remember that and the choices that I had to make.
What were some of the tough choices you had to make?
Well, when I first went to NYU, it was 3 years. They were always cutting people, getting rid of them from, you know, if they weren't good enough. So I was always fearful of that.
Yeah.
But in the minute that I got there, I just realized that it was the first time I was in the minority. I wasn't in a Catholic school where everyone believed the same way. I was in the minority, even in my little acting class, because, you know, there were people that had no faith, people that, you know, were Buddhists, maybe people with different ways of thinking, like a boy.
People whose mother didn't send them off with those beautiful words.
Exactly. And so I thought, whoa, I can either stay quiet or, you know, tell people how I feel. And there were a lot of professors and even some guys in the class that knew I was this innocent Michigander. And so they tried to sway me one way or another, but I would use scripture on them.
Really?
Romans or Corinthians. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Joan of Arc. That's funny you say that, because to audition to get into New York University, you had to do a monologue. And that was the monologue I chose.
No kidding.
From Joan of Arc, Jean Henri. Yeah, Blessed St. Michael, Blessed Ladies, Catherine and Margaret.
So you used that as your audition, and you were not afraid to sort of brand yourself as
who knew I'd need that armor of God. You know, it's just like Joan.
Well, Jennifer, in your training, and then as you got out into the professional world, did you ever have to engage in parts that you felt were unsavory, or were you able to turn down parts and sort of say, well, this isn't really a good fit for me?
A little of both.
Mm-hmm.
There was two times, especially I can think of. There was a show off Broadway called Bunny Bunny, and it was about the life of Gilda Radner and her Saturday Night Live writer.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Gilda Radner, but a lot of the words in the script were, you know, using God's name in vain. So I was just the understudy, but it took me 3 weeks to be able to approach the director. And I even called this man Ralph Martin. Do you know Ralph Martin, Charismatic Renewal in Ann Arbor?
Can't say that I do.
Choices We Face.
Okay.
I think it's on EWTN.
Okay. Well, then
show.
I do know it. I do know. Yes, I do know it.
He's a great man. But I called him, what should I do? And he said, well, you're not playing Jennifer Nemo. You're portraying Gilda Radner. And this was the language that she used. But I still didn't feel comfortable. So instead of those words, I got a thesaurus out. And I chose like 100 words that could be replaced, that could replace those words.
And carry the same sort of passion and not erode the character portrayal.
Yeah, so when I went up to the director, I said, instead of this, could I go, and I rolled out these words. And he started laughing. He said, well, you're going to have to ask the writer. But the show closed early, and I never had to go on. But God still made me approach that.
Wow, well, that took courage, Jennifer.
Oh, courage.
I mean, that's extremely impressive. We are talking with singer, actress Jennifer Nemo Morales. Maybe you caught her performance as Frankie Valli's wife in the original Broadway production of Jersey Boys. Love that musical. If you have questions or comments for Jennifer, give us a call. This is a great opportunity. We'd love your conversation input. 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. We'll pop you right into the conversation. So, Jennifer, let's kind of fast forward a little bit to your role as Mary Delgado in the Four Seasons for the Jersey Boys,
yes.
The story of the Four Seasons. How did that come about? Where were you in your professional life at that point?
I was living in Los Angeles, and I was doing a job that I said that I would never do in New York, waitressing.
No, you gotta do that.
I was like, that's so cliche. But when I came here, and I still work at this place a few nights a week, it's a place called Michelli's.
Oh, yeah, an Italian place up there in Hollywood, right.
Family-run, great family-run restaurant, and we sing. You have to audition, and the waiters sing in between putting down a bowl
very
of pasta.
Very fun, yes.
So I was, one night, I heard one of the waitresses say, oh, I have a callback for Jersey Boys. And I looked it up, and I thought, wait a minute. I've worked with this director. I did Big River with him. So I called my agent that next morning. He got me into the casting directors who weren't familiar with me. I went in that morning. I sang my song. They said, perfect. Do exactly what you did. Come back at 5 o'clock tonight for the director, who I knew, and the musical director. And they were like, Jennifer. And it went great. And I walked out of there, and something that happens that every actor loves, the phone rang. Can you come back tomorrow morning? Frankie Valli will be here in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. So he was that involved in the casting?
Yes, he was.
And you were going to play his first wife.
Yes, Mary Delgado. So I came back the next morning. He was so charming. And that's how quickly when a role is meant for you and God opens the door, it just happened like that from the morning to the afternoon, to the next morning. And I received a call that they had to go to New York. But by 2 days later, I knew that I had it. And we actually originated
in La Jolla Playhouse.
Yes, that's right.
I saw you there.
You did?
I saw you there. I had a friend in San Diego who called and said, get your family down here to see Jersey Boys. It's a brand new musical debuting at the La Jolla Playhouse. And we did. And it was over Thanksgiving, and it was fantastic. Did you know, because I know it went from there to Broadway, it became it's a legendary on Broadway, one of the longest running musicals. Did you know, did you have a sense, did the cast know this was going to be a classic hit?
You always hear, oh, this is going to go to Broadway. But we thought, yeah. But we knew it was really special because it was only supposed to be there to play 2 months and it kept extending. And people kept having to change their Christmas and Thanksgiving plans. And we went all the way through January. It ran 6 months in La Jolla. And so at that time when it was done, my husband and I were trying to have children, and I got the phone call, can you go to New York? And so we put that on hold, but God had a whole other plan.
Yeah, and we're going to hear about that too, because that's another really interesting part of your story. But we have a call right now from Jerry, who lives in Moscow, Pennsylvania, and he's listening to us on J&J Catholic Radio. Jerry, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thanks. It's a she.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Jerry.
That's
Geraldine.
All right. That's quite all right. It's often mixed up. No worries at all.
I imagine it's spelled with a G, not a J, right? That's how you know.
That's correct.
Right,
yes.
So
yes.
That's how I made the mistake.
Jerry with a G, not Jerry with an I.
Because Jerry with a G,
not Liza or something.
Yes, that's the Liza song, exactly.
Right? Is it the Liza song?
Yeah.
That's good.
Do you have a... Yeah, it's Liza with a Z.
Yeah.
Not Liza with a Z, because Liza with a Z goes nuts. Okay, enough of that. Jerry, back to you. Do you have a question for Jennifer, our guest?
I don't have a question. I have a comment. I just want to thank her for being, a Broadway actress. I'm a performer myself, living in Pennsylvania, and I direct high school musicals, and I work with special needs adults.
Oh.
And I find it just increasingly difficult as a high school educator, public high school educator, to have the kids come up and have expectations of putting on musicals like The Heathers something really far out there.
Yeah.
And
unsavory.
I hold my ground. Yeah, I hold my ground. And I just wanted to know if she had any comments regarding that. How is it? I mean, how does she manage to keep her faith and still enjoy the whole Broadway realm and the people involved?
That's a great question, Jerry. Thanks.
Yeah, that's really hard. That's what I hate conflict. And the Lord kept putting me in places where I had to stand up for my faith. If I was silent, which I'd rather be, it would just burn within me, the word. So when I got the opportunity, I would say why I'm not going to say that word or use God. The biggest thing was I never wanted to use God's name in vain, and I've managed to not have to do that in any show. And just keeping my faith, I would always pray that the Lord would send someone, that a Christian, anyone. And when he didn't, I would surround myself. My best friends were some of the saints, the communion of saints, like St. Therese of Lisieux. But I think if you're being an example to these kids, especially in a public school, then you're giving a sermon without even using words,
yeah.
just by your example.
That I mean, I thank you for calling, Jerry. I think that that's an excellent testimony that's going to touch a lot of people. But there's a lot of really great wholesome musicals that
yes.
we can do, too. Singer-actress Jennifer Nemo Morales is going to stay with us for more conversation about her fascinating life on stage, behind the camera, in front of the audience, at home, with her husband and son. And if you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. So stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this summer fun edition of Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin with our celebrity guest, Jennifer Nemo Morales. You know this adorable face. In addition to originating the role of Frankie Valli's wife in the very first Tony Award-winning production of Jersey Boys, she's appeared on Broadway in Les Miserables, Big River, Grease. She continued her singing and acting career here on the West Coast with television, commercials, and one-woman concerts. So, Jennifer, this weekend's Sunday liturgy includes an epistle from Paul to the Romans, and in it he says, "We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." When you look back at your life, and I want to hear the really inspiring story of your transition from theater into family life, does this resonate with you, this scripture passage, how God makes all come to good?
Yes, especially in retrospect. Because when you're in the middle of it, you think, why aren't you making this all work for good?
Yeah.
But yes.
You know, yes. People think that in show business, it would be so easy to meet people that are your peers that you have so much in common with. Oh, they're such interesting, fun people. Not the case.
No.
I mean, it's hard to find good dates.
Yes, it is. Because usually in a show, there's maybe one or two guys that aren't married, and those are the ones that every girl in the show likes.
Okay.
So you
okay.
want a good, wholesome
yeah.
young man who's Catholic. And, well, the way I found my husband was when I came here to Los Angeles, because I came here because I had agents on both coasts, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try TV. But I think God really brought me over here to join. It was Ave Maria Single Catholics. .com. My sister and I joined, and I kissed a lot of frogs, and I had really a lot of nice dinners all around.
Yeah.
I said, oh, yeah, I'll go on a date with you. And I tried never to look at their photo when I was reading their profiles. I just wanted to see what they were about. Then I saw their photos, and I still went out.
Because, you know, photos are one-dimensional. When
yes.
a person emotes and they start expressing themselves, they look completely different from
yes.
a photo that you might have seen.
Yes, especially if you see, like, my resume pictures, then you see me now.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
So did you connect with your husband right away on the first date?
He wrote me, and he used, his name is Tim, and he used the name Jim. So he lied in the very first
thing.
Deception! Yes. But we started out emailing because he was living in Fresno, which is 3.5 hours away. And then it progressed. Then I invited him to a wedding that I was singing at, and our
oh.
parish priest was there. Everyone approved of him. Then I tried to set him up with my little sister, because she's more of a meat and potato and sports guy, and I'm not. But we ended up getting married. He liked me before he heard what I could do, sing or anything. So I knew this was a solid
Although
good
he did come to the wedding and heard you sing.
Yes, he did.
So you wanted him to get a little taste
yeah.
of the talent he was
little.
Associating with.
But you know, my parents, since I was little, were always praying for a man after God's own heart, like David.
Beautiful.
And I feel like Tim is that, and
yeah.
I feel like I'm making him a saint every day.
So how did he feel marrying an actress? I mean, that's not an easy gig to live with, to coincide in a household with.
He's very unsure, and he would say, now, are you really crying or are you acting? Whenever I'd get emotional.
But I could pull yeah. out the old acting trump card. That's good.
It was a lot of long distance dating. You know, we'd meet somewhere. But we thought we were older. And so we really wanted to do it the right way, you know, live the Catholic way. So we did everything by the book. And mm-hmm. we waited. It was hard. It was long distance. I'd be in a show. We got married on a hiatus from a show. I had 2 months off, and we got married during that time. And
well, you're gone in the evenings when you're
yes.
a stage actor.
And he works in the day. He works at Children's yeah. Hospital, Los Angeles. So
well, that's tricky. So he was married to you when you were cast in the Jersey Boys.
Yes.
And then you had to move to New York.
Yes. And we were trying to get pregnant at the same time. And, you know, when I got offered the Broadway show, he said, well, we're going to throw away all of our chances of having a child because we're doing it naturally, and there was a lot of problems with that. And he said, well, just go for 6 months. So 2.5 years later.
Well, who knew it was going to just run away with all the Tonys? So he stayed here on the West Coast?
He stayed, and he would, every couple of weeks, he would come to New York. And we were trying to decide whether to live there, because he could work anywhere, because he works at children's hospitals. And we decided, no, I think it's better if we raise a child. We thought, here, it'd be more space, mm-hmm. less money. But I think the whole reason for going to New York, I thought was to make me a star, was to meet the people involved with the Jersey Boys and the fans, because that's how we kind of discovered our son.
Well, that's a story I'd like to hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a fan of the show, Carol, and when I left the show in 2008, she knew that we were trying to have kids, and she said, you need to pray. You and your husband need to pray. The Saint Anne and Saint, I say Joachim, but I know it's Joachim.
Joachim, yeah.
Joachim. Novena. It's a grandparents novena. They were the grandparents of baby Jesus. And so we said, okay. So we prayed it faithfully every day. On the ninth day, Danielle Gaudio, who is the daughter of Bob Gaudio, the real Frankie in the Valley in the Four Seasons, mm-hmm. we became friends, and she always knew, too, that we wanted a family. She called and she said, you know, Jennifer, there's this little boy, and he's living with his grandparents, and he's always just wanted a mom and dad, and they've been looking for parents for him. And that was the answer to a prayer. I was doing Les Miserables at the Hollywood Bowl. It closed. The next day, we got fingerprinted, did all the adoption things uh-huh. that we were supposed to do. We flew out. We met him. It was the week of the Assumption. He had never been to church. We got permission to go to church on August 15th. We brought him up to communion. He followed us. He was 5.5 years old. We received communion, and he said, I'm hungry. I want some bread, too, which I've always felt was so symbolic.
Yeah.
And
out of the mouths of babes.
Yes. Yeah. And that was August.
So you adopted him at 5.5 years old. That is such a
very fast pregnancy, 2 months.
And your figure didn't get altered at all. Uh-huh. But what a beautiful gift that was, and how that changes your life, you never know. You know, when you went off to Broadway, I'm sure the fear of the footlights was quite daunting, but that is nothing in comparison to the fear of parenting.
Oh, there's no script. There's no script. Happy ending. You don't know what the ending is.
And you don't get to audition. It's
exactly.
All a live performance.
And there's no applause. And there's no paycheck.
Well, there's kisses, though.
Yes, yes, yes.
So what have been the biggest challenges of raising your son? He looks absolutely adorable.
Thank you.
And he's going off to be a freshman in high school this year.
Yes, St. Francis High School, all boys Catholic high school. So, I mean, I feel like, you know how Mary, she was told a sword will pierce your heart. I feel like a sword always. I feel every rejection, every pain, every hurt, every victory of his. We put him in Catholic grade school and now Catholic high school. But it's challenging, you know, making sure that he stays on the path, going to Mass, learning the catechism.
Well, he still has been at an age where you can kind of manage that. Now,
yes.
The thing is that when you've lived on Broadway and lived in the career that you've lived, you know, you see the unsavory dimension of life. You see all the influences that these kids are going to get exposed to. And it seems like, you know, there's more access to that now than there used to be.
Definitely.
So how do you protect him?
Well, I think raise a child in the way he should go in all of his life. He will remember that. I train a child in the way he should go. So we just try to, you know, besides what they're learning from school, I think I was asking him this question. He said, mostly everything that I've learned about God and the sacraments and Blessed Mother have been from you and Dad. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I learned a lot in second grade and third grade. But he said in junior high, it's...
That's when it begins.
Right. He said that I feel like it was lacking. He said, I feel like it was lacking religion classes.
Well, that's also beginning the age of real discernment, where they can question, and questioning is a good thing. And it sounds like you have good catechesis, so you can instruct. Are you involved at all in the parish with your talents at all?
Yeah, not saying it. They actually have used my Eucharist and rosary tape for kids.
So you made a tape. Is it a video or an audio tape?
It's a video. It's a videotape. And now it's on DVD. And so the Eucharist for little children and rosary for little children. I remember being surprised. The second grade teacher was using that, teaching the little kids the rosary and the Eucharist.
And what does the video consist of? Is it you talking to them about it?
I'm the host on it, and then we sing the Hail Mary. There's a Christmas one, too. We sing the Hail Mary. It shows the benediction and adoration and how you prepare for the Eucharist. This wonderful man from my hometown, Alan Hartwick, who is now with the Lord, he produced and directed all of these.
Wow.
And it's produced by Vision Video, actually. So,
how lovely that
so
you
by,
would be
So by day, I'm the Rosary and Eucharist video, and by night, I'm the mafia wife.
Yeah, Mary Delgado was a pretty tough character.
She was a tough,
you know, I mean, people remember Jersey Boys as being this charming show, but it was really kind of poignant. It had a lot of sad, sad disappointment in it. And certainly the wife, the character you portrayed, the real life person, she was so instrumental in his success and launching his career.
Yes.
And yet, you know,
she wanted to be a singer herself.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is it about that entertainment field that's so hard on a marriage?
That's such a good question. Because when I left the show, Frankie Valli could not understand, well, why would you be leaving the show unless it's something that's a little bigger? And in my head, I said, because in my head, I didn't say it to him, well, I don't want my life to parallel what I'm playing on stage every night. But it's hard because you're almost married to the family, that fake family that you're in every day, even if you're on the road, that becomes your family. And it's not. So when I was on the road, I made sure that I found the church in every town and made the Eucharist with home.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is so great. And I know on Broadway, there is, you probably know it, there's an actor's church.
St. Malachy's.
Yes. And they have 11 o'clock mass on Saturday night for the actors. And
in between shows.
It must be very edifying to see that. Hey, I've been saying today that today is our summer fun show on Call Me Catholic. And we have been having lots of fun with our guest, singer-actress Jennifer Namo Morales. But let me just take a minute to tell you about a very fun and lively event that you are invited to attend. EWTN's free family celebration. Free Family Celebration event is back at the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts, September 9th and 10th. That's just about 6 weeks away. This is a big deal, and I wish it were closer to me because I'd be all over it. There will be talks by all your favorite EWTN television and radio hosts. Well, not all of them. I'm not going to be.
Maybe they'll fly you out.
You can shop for books and devotionals at the religious catalog shop, attend Holy Mass, be a part of a live EWTN show with Marcus Grody. They have a Faith Factory workshop for kids. You can get books signed by famous Catholic authors. And it's free. Wow, you cannot beat that. So that's the EWTN Family Celebration September 9th and 10th at the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts. For more information, go to EWTN.com/family celebration. So check it out. Hey, Jennifer, we have another caller, Tim. Oh, look at that. It's Jennifer's husband. Is he calling just to check in on you?
Maybe so.
Hi, Tim. Welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hi, just wanted to make sure she was there. I've been listening to the show, my son and I, and everything she's saying is absolutely true. You know, there's no coincidences for everything that happens. So,
well, Tim, what is it like being married to an actress? When you first met her and then you knew what you were getting into with your marriage, did you think, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this?
Well, interesting you say that, because one of the first things she was telling me, it was going to be a roller coaster ride. and sure enough, you know, there's, you know, I see the high moments of her life and the low moments of her life, but you know, her faith has really has been the, you know, the foundation of her being and, you know, our marriage and everything. So she's an amazing woman.
What a beautiful testimony. Well, it sounds like you're a pretty cool guy, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with my son, but he can't hear you. But he diddles that because you know, she keeps us on track and she manages to manage everything. She keeps my son Harrison just in line in school and academically and our spiritual life. She is an amazing woman.
What a beautiful thing to come from your husband.
I'll pay you when we get home. Thank you.
That sounds very heartfelt. She was very surprised to see your name pop up on our caller screen. So thank you for calling, Tim. Say hi to Harrison, and I'll send her back home very soon.
Love you.
Yeah, love you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Hey, so Jennifer, what would you say to parents today whose 13, 14-year-old daughter or son came to them and said, hey, Mom and Dad, I want to go into acting. I want to go to Broadway. I want to go to Hollywood and be in the pictures. What would you say to them? How would they advise?
Is there any other talent you have? No. No. If that's I had no other skills except singing. I had no other.
Not according to Tim. It sounds like you are a woman of many skills and talents.
Oh, well, now if you asked him about cooking, they would say Trader Joe's is the best chef we've ever had.
Many of us would.
I would say if that's what you're called to do, if that's what your role is, if that's all you can do, then you go all into it. Don't accept any no's, but have a good foundation, because there's going to be more rejection than yeses. So you have to have a good foundation so that you don't take it too personally. My mom would always say, if I had a husband that treated me the way your career does, I would have left long time ago. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. I think the rejection is probably the most difficult thing. You're not going to beat yourself up every time you get a rejection notice or you don't get that call back.
Right, right. It is very hard, because especially if you're praying, I thought, is someone else praying harder? I would say, why no? Now this one seemed wholesome, and I'd be upset with God for a while.
Well, I also think that your testimony is a great model for young actors and actresses to stand their ground. Don't be afraid. You hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't want people to know I'm Christian in the entertainment world because it works against you.
Right.
Well, if it works against you that much, then get out.
Exactly.
Or hold your ground and make a difference and change that.
I always prayed that I would be some kind of light in like
you
the dark.
You are a light. Uh-huh. She's lighting up our studio, Jimmy G, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And I think about the visual that your mom gave you with the twine or the string. And
yes.
You know, talking about the fact that, you know, life was really so brief, and eternity's forever. You know?
Yes. Goes by so quickly.
So those are also excellent. That's an excellent example of being a parent. You know, send your kid off with that message. Hey, Jennifer, you have a beautiful voice. I'm not going to let you go without giving us a little sample of it. Do you have a favorite hymn or a favorite inspirational song that you can sing us a few bars from?
Sure. It's between How Great Thou Art or Amazing Grace.
Ooh, I'm going to go with How Great Thou Art.
Just oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Bravo, bravo. My heart is beating. I was mouthing the words because my voice.
Join in.
My voice can't hit those notes. I would have eroded yours. Jennifer Nemo Morales, I have loved this conversation. You are a bright light. You are a bright light in our sometimes shadowy world. May God continue to bless your talents with worthy endeavors, with worthy audiences. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit us.
Like we say in Jersey Boys, from your lips to God's ears. Thank you.
Oh, she's so wonderful. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the summer.
Thank you.
Tell Tim and Harrison we're glad they called in.
Thank you.
And good luck. I want to tell our audience about your Magnificat address. You're speaking to an audience at the Magnificat brunch.
Yes, on August 12th. In Granada Hills, they can get information at Magnificat SFV, as in San Fernando Valley, .org, or 805-527-3745.
Good. I'm so glad we remembered that, because if you can see her in person, you will love it. Okay, thank you again. God bless you. Now, some of you might remember from last week that we had our biannual every other year family reunion a couple of weeks ago. I did with my family. My mom, my three sisters, and their husbands and families all got together at a beautiful destination near Santa Barbara, and we just enjoyed each other for 4 nights. And since this family's all pretty much Catholic, I thought I'd tap into their comments for one of our Chatting with Catholics segments. So I asked a handful of the 28 family members in attendance, what does family mean to you? And here's what they said.
Call me Catholic. We're chatting with Catholics.
Okay, so Matt, what does family mean to you?
Wow, you put me on the spot. But
that's what we like to do with you.
You know, family to me means people that you can get together with no matter how long it's been since you've last seen them, and just walk in and feel completely comfortable and loved and at home and welcome. And that's what we've had all weekend here.
Were you feeling the love?
I was absolutely feeling the love this weekend. It was great. Absolutely fantastic.
Family means everything to me. As I look over the years and I see not only my family, but my cousins and how close we were and how much we helped each other out, I realize it's important to keep family ties tied in a big bow. And that's what we're doing here. We're having a wonderful, wonderful time. And everybody is reconnecting with their cousins. Maybe they haven't seen them for a couple of years. It's a closeness you can really feel.
It's a happy thing, isn't it, Mom?
It is very much a happy thing.
All the generations interacting with each other, but right now you're the matriarch, and this is all your work.
We are blessed. Thank you, God.
Family means unconditional love.
Do you experience that?
I experience that all the time with my family. You can be who you are. You can be true to yourself and know they will stand by you. I love it.
Amen.
Amen, sister.
True sister.
I'm from the deep south. I cannot give you a quick answer on anything. Certainly nothing as important to me as family.
But give it a try.
Family is spending 10 days with the three people you love most and us all living through it.
So, Carly, what does family mean to you?
Family is joy. It has been seeing my boys grow up and meeting their family and seeing family through the eyes of little ones.
And you were just saying that now your little boys go by and they say, is that in our family? Are they in our family?
Yeah, now it's so exciting when we're walking around and my littlest goes, oh, is that my cousin? Is that my cousin? Oh, I saw my cousin. And
are you sure to tell them who is not their cousin?
You know what? At this point, I just want them to be friendly with everybody and think that everyone is family so that they're sweet to everyone.
So, Daniel, what does family mean to you?
I think what family means to me is spending every day of your life being willing to do it with the people that you love most, whether it's going to a baseball game or a tournament and the most remote places, waking up at 7:30 just to go to one of those games and watching a 2.5-hour game in the heat, enjoying what your children do.
But if you're in that game, don't you think it gives your parents and your sister and your grandparents a lot of pleasure?
Yeah, I hope it makes them happy watching me. Whoever it is, even if it's not your family, you should, if it's just a friend, you should spend a lot of time with them anyway. And you should just think of them as family.
I love it. But you are my grandnephew, so I can't think of you as just anybody. You are my grandnephew.
Hey, thank you.
Mary Lynn, my sister, what does family mean to you?
Family means the world to me and everything beyond.
That sounds like Buzz Lightyear. To infinity and beyond.
My sister is a lot like Buzz Lightyear.
To infinity and beyond.
It is the world to us, isn't it?
It is. It is. I couldn't imagine life without my family.
Talk family.
They're an extraordinary source of forgiveness. You can become better when you're ready to become better, and then receive the forgiveness from your family. And so it's a good way to live better in the world by being encouraged in your family to reconcile.
Kind of an anchor.
Correct.
What does family mean to you, Jeff?
Family friendly. I know that's part of the word, but it's family friendly for a reason, because everybody gathers in one area to see each other, yeah, and to talk and commune and catch up. That's what family means to me.
And you know you're connected, no matter what.
I do. If nothing else, through the sport of baseball.
Yeah, we've had a lot of baseball.
The American League. Down to third. Oh,
what about you, Theo? What does family mean to you?
Family is where you can be yourself and only yourself.
And know that you will be loved?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think family means to me is family's your home base. And I remember my Latin teacher, Mr. C, sat me down once and said, if X, Y, or Z happens, sit and think, will your family still love you? Will your mother still love you? And will your father still love you? And he's like, I can tell you the answer is yes.
Oh.
And that's what family is. And you can extend that to your cousins and to your brothers and to your sisters. And that's what's beautiful about family.
So, Natalie, you are going to be the newest member of our family as my future daughter-in-law. What does family mean to you?
Family to me is unconditional love.
Are you feeling it?
I do feel it. I do.
So my mom is standing up. She's about to offer a toast to the family on this last night of our biannual family reunion. Let's hear what she has to say.
Bring to all of your attention how important cousins are. I have gone over in my mind the last couple of days my own history. The different families that belonged to me that were very close, and how when anyone was in the trouble, there was a cousin there that helped them out and said, come on, do this, do that. Help one another. Love one another. Beautiful. Keep in touch with one another.
Yes.
Did you all hear me?
Clap, applause, yay. Applause. Well done, Mom. That was such an awesome family reunion. She sounds sort of a little ferocious there. She's actually a very sweet lady, but she was yelling. It was at a restaurant, and we had a big long table of 28 of us. So we, our ages ranged from 2, that was the youngest, and you heard him calling out for Nana.
Right.
That was Theo, and then my mom, who is 93. So it was start those traditions with your families, and every other year is good for us. We see each other in between, but we don't all manage to get together. I want to thank Jennifer Namo Morales for telling us the story of her family. Such an inspiring story in her career. And if you want to hear her speak and you're in the local area, Southern California, check out the website magnificatsfv.org. SFV.org. She's still with us in the studio here, so she's correcting me. But mostly, hey, we want you to also check out our Facebook page. And we've got lots of news, lots of pictures, podcasts. And give us a like. Join our family, our Facebook family. Right, Jimmy G?
We're closing in, I think, on 1,700 likes. We're almost there.
Yeah. But mostly,
put us over the top.
Tune in again next week for more good news from our good faith. And until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you know, you can always just call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.